To Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, and I want to read with you from chapter 1, chapter 1 of this Epistle to the Philippians. We shall read from verse 1 and we'll read the chapter together. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defence of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretence or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labour. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now hear to be in me. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading from his word. Philippians chapter 1 and the verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now I want to address this particular text, and I do want, God willing, to bring to you a series of sermons upon this particular text of Scripture. And I have entitled this sermon and those, the God willing, that will follow, Walking Worthy of the Lord and His Gospel. Walking Worthy of the Lord and His Gospel. Paul writes this letter as a prisoner for the Lord's sake. One who is guilty of no criminal act, but is incarcerated for his faithfulness to the Lord. He writes the letter as a prisoner, and there are references made in the letter to his bonds. But he is a prisoner who understands that his imprisonment is one of those all things that work together for good to them that love God. He perceives God's ordaining and permitting hand in his present plight. He knows his jailing has promoted in a strange way the interests of the gospel. And he is eager to inform the Philippians of this. He writes to them, verse 12, But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He would have the saints at Philippi know that which was intended for evil, his imprisonment, God meant it for good, the furtherance of the gospel. And as a consequence of the apostle's imprisonment, verse 14 tells us, quote, Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. As a result, the cause of Christ, the gospel of Christ, is being widely disseminated, and the cause of Christ is being advanced. Paul would have the Philippians to know this. He would have them to be encouraged by this. And in many, many ways, this letter is a letter of encouragement to the people of God at Philippi. Well, in our text, in verse 27, the apostle once more seeks to encourage the Philippian church along certain lines. In this verse, he stirs them up to live lives which are worthy of the Lord and of His gospel. Lives which are worthy of those who profess the Lord and declare their belief of His gospel. He writes in our text, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Now, what does he mean? What is the substance of this? What is the explanation of this verse? He begins, "Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." The word conversation there signifies more than mere talk. As we use it in our day, of course, generally speaking, that's all the word signifies, but not so here. It is a word that describes our whole manner of life and behavior in this world. Very wide-ranging word. Describes our whole manner of life and behavior in this world. Much more than just our talk, as it were. So the apostle is exhorting the Christian, let your life, the way you live your life, let your whole behavior in this world, let it be worthy. Let it be such that it is becoming of those that profess the Lord and believe His gospel. Now also, in the word conversation, there is also in this word, and it does denote the responsibilities and privileges of citizenship. Citizenship is very much to the fore in terms of this word. And if you do the Bible study for yourself and look at the word and those closely connected with it, you'll see that. In this context, Paul has in mind that these believers possess heavenly citizenship. The fact that they are the children of God means that they are citizens in the kingdom of God. Their conversation, that is, their citizenship, is in heaven. Philippians 3 and verse 20. So the Philippians, Paul is self-consciously addressing them as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And he is encouraging them as citizens of heaven with the responsibilities and privileges that go with that. He is encouraging them to live their lives in a manner which is worthy of the Lord and of His gospel. I suppose you could say he's encouraging them to be good citizens. Now the apostle continues, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs." Now here's a most wonderful thing. To Paul, whether or not he is released and able to come and visit Philippi in person, whether or not that will be possible or come to pass, as far as he is concerned, that is of secondary importance. In his mind, what is of primary importance in relation to the church at Philippi and to the people of God there, what is of primary importance is not whether he can get there and put in a personal appearance and minister. It is that the Philippians live their lives in a fashion that is becoming of the gospel. The apostles' whole desire at this point is that whether or not he sees them in person, he will hear of how it is going with them. And it is his whole desire that he will hear of them that they are living in a manner which is worthy of their God. Now specifically, when he speaks here of letting your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, specifically what he has in mind when he speaks of such a manner of life, he sets out for us in this text. He does give us a flavor of it. He does show us what that would look like. He does give indications of it. He tells them that whether or not he is released from prison, he hopes to hear of them that, quote, ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, the faith of the gospel, I take here to mean the doctrines or the teaching of the gospel, the body of redemptive truth that makes up what we would call the gospel. And so with reference to the gospel, the apostle is encouraging the Philippians to stand fast, to maintain these redemptive truths which have been revealed, to persevere in the doctrines of the gospel, to not to be moved from them, but to stand fast. And not only to stand fast, but to be striving for the faith of the gospel. A lifestyle which is becoming of the gospel of Christ, a manner of life, would include both this standing fast and this striving for the faith of the gospel. Now the word striving, it signifies athletic activity. The church is to energetically promote the interests of the gospel, the cause of Christ. I take that to be the meaning here. Striving together, energetically promoting the interests of the gospel with determination, with vigor, and so on. All of these traits that are so often seen in the athlete. It is to seek to advance the cause of the gospel. So in the mind of the apostle, a church or a group of Christian people whose manner of life is consistent with the gospel they profess, they are a group who stand fast as far as the doctrine is concerned. There is no compromise there. There is no ditching of inconvenient truths. There is no fudging of the evangel. They stand fast, but not only do they stand fast, they energetically promote the interests of the gospel. Believers are taught and unbelievers are evangelized. And they do this in a united way. They stand fast, the text tells us, in one spirit and with one mind. They are found striving together for the faith of the gospel. The members of the church are on the same page. They are united on the gospel. Well, this is something of the meaning of what we have here before us. And from this text, what I want to emphasize to you today and in whatever sermons may follow, what I want to emphasize to you is that Christian people are to live their lives in a manner which is worthy of the Lord and His gospel. Our conversation, using the old word, is to be one that is becoming of the gospel of Christ. Now, first of all, the requirement for Christian people to live their lives in a manner which is worthy of the Lord and His gospel. The requirement for Christian people to live their lives in a manner which is worthy of the Lord and His gospel. Now, there are a number of things here. But first of all, let me say this to you. The profession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior requires such a lifestyle. It logically leads to such a lifestyle. It demands such a lifestyle. The profession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All truly Christian people do sincerely profess Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that profession, I am saying to you, requires, demands of us that we live lives in a manner which is worthy of the Lord and His gospel. Now, how is this so, you may ask? Well, consider what is involved in professing Christ. Consider what is involved. The one who sincerely professes Christ as their Lord and Savior, that one is one who believes the gospel of Christ. He or she accepts and acknowledges before God his own or her sinfulness. He desires to be saved from it, and he calls upon Jesus Christ to save him from his sin. Having called upon Christ, having exercised saving faith in him, the professing Christian declares and his witness is that he has received salvation. His witness is that from Christ's hand he has received a deliverance from sin. The Lord has broken the power of sin in his life. The Lord has granted him a pardon for his sin. The Lord has cleansed him from his guilt. Now, not only in professing Christ is the Christian claiming salvation from sin, but he is also saying that the Lord has brought him into blessing. He's saying that the Lord has brought him into blessing. He has discovered the joy of godliness. He has found the pathway to true and abiding happiness. In embracing the truth of the gospel and following the Lord Jesus as his sovereign and master, the professing Christian is claiming he has found life itself, spiritual and everlasting. Now, this is the profession we make. We do claim we have been saved from sin. We do declare that we have entered into the greatest blessing. We do profess that we are in possession of spiritual and everlasting life. Now, I put it to you that as all truly Christian people profess these things, all truly Christian people ought to live lives that are becoming of these things. Lives that are worthy of these things. Lives that are consistent with these truths. Our profession of Christ requires and demands of us such a manner of life. Now, specifically, those who are claiming such great things for the Lord and for his gospel, they should be standing fast in one spirit for the faith of the gospel. They should be standing fast. they who have discovered the doctrines of the gospel to be true, they who have benefited so immensely, should be to the forefront in their determination not to be budged from the faith of the gospel. In their homes, in their church, in their public place, as the opportunity is afforded, they should stand fast for the faith of the gospel. Not only standing fast, but also striving together for the faith of the gospel. Those who have experienced the wonders of God's grace and profess to have done so, they above all others ought to energetically promote the gospel. A church which claims to be a Christian church in the biblical sense, a church that claims to be made up of people who have received the most extraordinary blessing, who have undergone the most amazing life transformation, namely the new birth. It follows, doesn't it, that a church that professes such, that people would, with energy and with earnestness, promote this life-changing message. I put it to you, the profession of Christ that we make requires of us a lifestyle that is worthy of the Lord and His gospel. It really demands of us this lifestyle. It demands of us a conversation that is becoming of the gospel of Christ. It would be utterly inconsistent for us to live in any other way. Utterly inconsistent. For us to profess Christ and all that that entails, and then to be weak in our maintenance of the truths of the gospel, to be weak in the maintenance of the truths, to be apathetic about the message itself, that would be inconsistent, and it would contradict what we actually profess. Now, today I am speaking to believers, and I am speaking to encourage you, as the apostle, I believe, was seeking to encourage the Philippian church. And I encourage you to live your life in a manner which is worthy of the Lord and His gospel, in a manner which is consistent with the profession that you make. And I put it to you in this way. Present it to you in this way. Since it is true that the profession of Christ which we make requires a gospel-worthy manner of living, there are implications for us. There are implications for us and for all believers in terms of the way we live our lives. Let me just suggest four of them to you this afternoon. First, we should live holy lives. We should live holy lives. We profess to believe the gospel of Christ and all that that entails. We adhere to the truth that God is graciously working by His Spirit in His people. He is renewing them after His own image. He is enabling them more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. We who profess such things, we who profess Christ and His gospel, we above all others ought to live holy lives. And it is striking to take note of 2 Timothy 2 verse 19. Because 2 Timothy 2:19, I believe, teaches us precisely this truth. The apostle, writing by inspiration of God, makes the connection between the profession of Christ and the implication of that for the way in which the one who professes Christ ought to live. 2 Timothy 2:19, the exhortation in that verse is, quote, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, you couldn't get it plainer. You could not get it plainer. Every saint who professes Christ is to have no truck with sin. He is to fight it. He is to forsake it. He is to depart from iniquity. It would be unworthy of the Lord. It would be unworthy of the name of the Lord to have any other approach. That doesn't mean we always have the victory every time, but it does mean we battle. It does mean we battle, and by God's grace we overcome in the end. It does mean the approach is that we are as best as we are able to live holy lives. And this is an inescapable implication of the truth that we are putting before you today. We profess to believe this gospel. We say in effect that the Lord, who is revealed in this gospel as a plan to make men holy and ultimately to perfect them in holiness in heaven, it leads then, it demands of us then, that we live our lives in a manner which is characterized by godliness. Now, second, we should live joyfully. We should live joyfully. A manner of life which is worthy of the Lord and His gospel is essentially joyful. It is essentially joyful. We profess as true the gospel of Christ. We argue that the believing sinner, in coming into union with Jesus Christ by faith, we argue that in that act he has entered into the greatest blessing, the truest happiness, the richest joy. That's what we profess. That's what the gospel proclaims. A lifestyle that becometh that gospel must surely then be a joyful one. It must surely then be a joyful one. You cannot profess Christ and profess this marvelous blessing, this true happiness, this rich joy, and then live a joyless life. It just is utterly inconsistent. And what does it mean? Well, in the church context, a group of Christian people, it means a group of Christian people sincerely seeking their joy in Christ. A group who meet together to conscientiously seek their joy in praising the Lord, in learning of the Lord through His Word, in praying unto the Lord according to His promises. And these things are not just in terms of duty or what ought to be done. Yes, they ought to be done, but there is also this conscious sense of seeking joy in the Lord in these things. A group of Christian people who take seriously the injunction of Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. A church that in seasons of difficulty, nevertheless, consciously rejoices in the Lord. A church that in seasons of decline, nevertheless, consciously rejoices in the Lord. A body of the redeemed who count their blessings and name them one by one. This is an implication. We who profess Christ, it is demanded of us that we live a life worthy of the Lord. And that certainly would include a joyful life. Now, third, we should live steadfastly. Steadfastly persevering in the truth. When the apostle writes of Philippi and the Christians there standing fast, he has in mind that they steadfastly persevere in the truths of the gospel. We profess that gospel to be true. We profess the faith of the gospel to be true. We should live steadfastly, persevering in the faith. We should take to heart Paul's words to Timothy in another place, war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Men and women, a life that is worthy of the Lord and the gospel is that one that steadfastly perseveres in the faith. Fourth, and with this I finish today, we should live hopefully. We should live hopefully. Those who live gospel-worthy lives do so hopefully. They do so hopefully. Their profession is that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's what they profess. It's the power of God unto salvation. And therefore, they are hopeful concerning the conversion of sinners. They know God can save. They know God does save. They know God will save. And they are hopeful concerning the conversion of sinners. And this hopefulness is there in our text. It is there in the striving. In the striving for the faith of the gospel. The hopeful ones will strive. They will strive for the conversion of sinners. They will strive in prayer. They will strive in personal witness and so on. They will strive. They will promote with energy the interests of the gospel because they are hopeful. They profess and they believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and therefore they are hopeful and they will strive to promote the interests of Christ's cause. And in so doing, living in this hopeful way, they will live lives that are worthy of the gospel. The question today is this: are you living a holy, joyful, steadfast, hopeful life? If you are, you're well on the way. If you're not there already, you're well on the way to a manner of life that is becoming the gospel of Christ. And if you are not, let me just say to you pretty bluntly, you ought to. You ought to be living holy, joyful, steadfast, hopeful lives. You ought to be living such a life. This is a life that brings credit to your Lord. It's a life that is worthy of the gospel and the Lord who has revealed the gospel and has the power behind it. This is the life that we all should be living. If you're not, may God help you to do so. I leave it there for this afternoon, but there is more to be said, and by God's grace, I hope to say it next week. Let's just have a word of